This is Radio Times on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Alicia Keys has won, I think it's 15 Grammy Awards as a singer, songwriter, and producer, but it's her recent letter to the online publication Lenny, which is winning her a new wave of fans and some detractors. Keys writes of the pressure she felt to look a certain way each and every time she went out, saying, quote, "Every time I left the picture, I left the house, I should say, I would be worried if I didn't put on makeup. What if someone wanted a picture? What if they posted it? These were the insecure, superficial, but honest thoughts I was thinking, and all of it, one way or another, was based too much on what other people thought of me." She has since gone makeup-free and writes of an album photo that was taken recently. "I swear it is the strongest, most empowered, most free, and most honestly beautiful that I have ever felt." So, this hour, what role does makeup play in our lives? Some of us can probably take it or leave it or just have fun with it, but many girls and women do feel pressure to look a certain way, and we'll talk about that and whether social media is fueling anxiety about appearance. So, makeup, fun, or pressure, and why do many of us wear it? The number is 888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, or a tweet to at WHYY Radio Times. Our guests include Juliette Williams, professor in the UCLA Department of Gender Studies. Welcome, Juliette.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Yaba Blay is a Dan Blue Endowed Chair in Political Science at North Carolina Central University. Hi, Yaba.
Hi, good morning.
And later this hour, we'll meet Philadelphia artist Ellen Sue Gross, whose recent project involved painting a dozen women in their 60s and 70s without makeup. And also this note, some of us in our Radio Times group decided to go makeup-free today, and we're posting a selfie on our Facebook page. So if you'd like to check that out, head to whyy.org/radiotimes. Bit of a challenge to do this, but kind of fun. All right, so hashtag no makeup. Alicia Keys, Yaba, to you first. What did you make of this when you first heard of her decision to not only go makeup-free, but do it under the lights of award shows?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've really didn't think much about it when it first, I guess, surfaced. And then the more I paid attention to social media and started seeing people's responses, I thought it was just interesting the types of conversations that it was initiating. So on the one hand, it's like, well, great, good for you, Alicia Keys. You know, I think as women, we all have to admit that, yes, there is pressure to look a particular way in our society. Some of us feel that pressure more than others. So as somebody who's in the industry, as a musician, as somebody who's constantly in the public eye, you know, the pressure she feels is probably tenfold compared to the pressure that we feel. So good for her. But on the other hand, in terms of the responses I was seeing, particularly by black women, it was more so this idea, well, you know, good for you, Alicia Keys, but you're one person, you're wealthy, so you probably spent a whole lot of money on good skincare, and you also, your look aligns with a more mainstream accepted notion of beauty, so you can get away with that. And I think people automatically read her statement as judgmental, and I've read the statement a few times, and I don't think that was her intention at all, but, you know, depending upon where you are in your own relationship to makeup and the pressure that you feel, your response is probably going to reflect that.
I didn't feel that it was that she was speaking negatively to me. I wear a little bit of makeup and I'm without it today, and I felt a little uncomfortable, frankly, walking out the door without it. What is your take, Juliette Williams?
Well, I really appreciate Yaba bringing up this issue of the way that women respond to other women when it comes to issues of beauty. One of the most famous actions against the domination of beauty in our society happened on September 7, 1968, when a group of radical women went down to Atlantic City to protest the Miss America pageant. And this was nearly 50 years ago. One of the questions we have to ask is what has and hasn't changed. But one of the most important outcomes of that Miss America pageant protest was a sense among some women that these radical feminists were attacking them for wanting to look beautiful, wanting to be feminine. And this tension amongst women, I think, has too often distracted us from the real problems that we need to come together to face, whether or not we agree with the particular decisions any one woman is making.
Mm. Might I ask your personal feelings about makeup, Juliet? Do you wear it?
First of all, I really appreciate you asking that. I, like you, was surprised this morning coming over to a radio studio by the fact that I felt obviously I should not wear makeup, and also because of the early hour out here on the West Coast, I took one look in the mirror and you know, I said, I'm going to wear some makeup. But, you know, I think that we do have to be realistic and recognize how much a woman's standing in our society continues to depend on her looking a certain way. And part of why what Alicia Keys is doing deserves so much applause is that it's not just a matter of the courage not to wear makeup. It's also the case that women very often suffer a penalty for refusing to look the way they are supposed to.
Yaba, what's your take?
I mean, definitely, I wear makeup, and I like makeup, and I wear more makeup sometimes than others. And so, again, I think context is important, and looking at Alicia Keys as an artist, imagine how much makeup she has to wear. Like, we're not talking about our little concealer and foundation and lip gloss every day.
Yeah.
Like, she's sitting and having someone put pounds of makeup on for hours to have a particular look so that her skin reflects a certain way in this HD camera and these lights, you know.
Sure.
So for her, the level of performance, I think, is much more than hours. But again, I don't think that makeup is a bad thing necessarily. I do think we do deserve to have a conversation about the pressures that women feel, however,
yes.
Because, you know, in this moment, particularly when we start talking about younger girls, the standards that are being projected out in the media about what makeup is, even. So I'm learning all kinds of stuff, you know, about contouring and highlighting. And you go to Sephora these days and there are 35 different products for your eyebrows alone. You know, like, there's just so much more that we're learning that we can do to have this look and create these angles on our face. And people are striving for perfection, so makeup becomes this tool that allows people to do that, and I think that is part of the conversation.
Well, before we get into marketing, do you feel, Yaba, in your own use of makeup, is it primarily fun, or do you feel somehow pressured to look a certain way when you go out the door, when you go to the job?
I mean, I don't know that I feel pressure to look a particular way as much as I feel pressure perhaps to look my best self, and that's pressure that I might put on myself also. But I think, yeah, people have a particular expectation of you, particularly when you do have some public eye and people are, you know, I teach at a university, so I'm standing in front of students on stage, you know, twice a week. And so I think for me, the pressure is just, you know, wanting to go out and look my best self. Now, when I wear makeup on an everyday basis, at least in my mind, I don't think that I am changing anything about myself. I wear very simple and light makeup. But my relationship with makeup has changed over time. I think this is a confidence that has come with being grown. You know, the 20-year-old Yaba wore lots of makeup. But 42-year-old Yaba, not so much.
So let's get back to Alicia Keys and the response she got. Yaba, you mentioned that she got a lot of response within the African-American community, some negative. Not sure about the wider community of women in America. But suffice it to say that the trolls kind of had a field day. And let's get to some of the pressures that we can feel, especially young women and girls, you know, from social media. Author Rachel Simmons writes that social media has become, in her words, a toxic mirror. What do you think of that, Juliet Williams?
Well, you know, there was a big controversy about a year ago when a famous feminist professor, Bell Hooks, called Beyonce a terrorist. And whatever one thinks about that statement, I think that what Bell Hooks was getting at is the way in which young women in particular, because their lives are so saturated with the media, are constantly being bombarded with the message that their value as a human being depends on looking a certain way. And that certain way is both impossible to achieve, and also very, very narrow and specific. You know, it still remains organized around a certain kind of a Barbie doll look that just doesn't take into account the beautiful spectrum of difference that exists in the U.S. and elsewhere.
And over the last 20 years, you get likes if you look a certain way. And I wanted to get into this from ComScore, which measures internet use. 58% of Instagram users are women. And there are tools which you can use to make yourselves appear more beautiful. One is called the Perfect 365, which I think Kim Kardashian West apparently uses to tweak her photos. So what do these do for the users? It sounds almost like a slippery slope. You're really putting yourself out there and you're tweaking it and you're trying to get likes. Or is it not all as bad as that? What do you think, Yabba Blay?
Well, I think in speaking of youth and thinking of the college students that I teach and I'm surrounded by, I think that, yes, absolutely, they are engaged in social media, Instagram, Snapchat, and other visual platforms seeking approval. And so, you know, they can take hundreds of shots just to get the perfect selfie with the perfect angle and then post it and feel something based upon the amount of likes and comments that they get. But again, the bigger context is that Instagram, Snapchat, they create filters. There are other applications, external applications you can use to perfect your look. And so the approval is coming based upon an inauthentic self to some degree, but it's felt as presenting, you know, one's best self. And so, yeah, I understand the comment that, you know, it's a toxic mirror because with everybody only posting their best pictures, then it creates a fairyland and a field of dreams.
Juliet Williams, it seems, and I might be wrong in this, but it just seems that with this so-called toxic mirror, with the 24/7 availability of social media and these tools like Perfect 365, there's more pressure than ever on young women coming up to look of a certain way and feel about themselves a certain way. Am I wrong in that?
Well, there's certainly reason to think that, but there's also certainly reasons to be hopeful, which is to say that there's tons of filters we can put onto our photos on Instagram that are going to make us look better, but there's all kinds of filters that can make us look zany and silly and playful. And so one of the tasks I think all of us has is to make sure to fully utilize all these other possibilities so that the most narrow and restrictive tools that are out there don't end up prevailing. But I do want to say also, if we think about the role that the beauty myth plays in all of our lives, there is sometimes a concern that here we are in 2016, women have more rights, have higher incomes, have more sense of an empowerment than ever before, and yet 9 out of 10 women, if you could have one wish granted, what would it be? To lose 10 pounds. So how far really have we come?
Hold that thought, Juliet Williams. We're up against a break. Juliet is professor in the UCL Department of Gender Studies. Yabba Blay, a professor, researcher, and ethnographer. The conversation about makeup, or lack of it, continues on Radio Times. This is Radio Times. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. The hashtag no makeup movement is building up some steam. Singer Alicia Keys penned a critique for an online magazine explaining her recent negative feelings about makeup and has since led the cause. We are joined this hour, this portion of the hour, by Yabba Blay, Dan Blue Endowed Chair in Political Science at North Carolina Central University. Also, Juliet Williams, professor in the UCLA Department of Gender Studies. And we've got calls and lots of comments coming in. If you'd like to tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, or the number to call is 888-477-9499. And Juliet Williams, I'd just like to pick up on something you mentioned going into the break. Essentially, over the last, what, 4 decades, as far as women have come in education and career and et cetera, for many of us, it's still about the 10 pounds we want to lose, or, you know, at the essence of this appearance. Why is that?
Well, the concern I would have about it is that this is a way of keeping women in their place and taking away their power. Just as a thought experiment, you can ask yourself, every day from the moment you wake up till you go to sleep, if you took all the time and energy and passion that you put into thinking about your weight, putting on makeup, putting on beautiful clothes, dealing with your feet hurting from your shoes, if you looking in mirrors and windows of shops as you walk down the street, if you took all that energy and were able to direct it to something else, what would be possible in your life? So that's one concern. A second concern I have about the way that the beauty myth operates in our society has to do with women as we age, which all of us do.
Yep.
And, you know, we live in a society here in the U.S. and in the West generally that for women almost criminalizes the natural fact of aging. And what that means, practically speaking, is that simply by living from one day to the next, a woman loses some of her power. She loses some of her social stature. And that's really a perverse kind of penalty to be exacting upon any human being, let alone half the population.
Yeah, but Blay, as a woman who is in her early 40s, how do you flip that narrative?
Easier said than done. Yeah, and I think, again, I think it's more complicated. You know, I think we're complex beings. I don't ever want to get into a situation where we can't feel, you know, good about adorning ourselves. So I think culturally, across cultures for women, there is definitely something culturally feminine about adorning ourselves. But again, looking in particular context and understanding why it is the ways that we adorn ourselves now or being forced to adorn ourselves now are really reflective of bigger institutions and a longer history. So the history of makeup starts in the 16th century, Elizabethan era Europe, and white women, literally as the bearers of the white race, needing to perform their femininity to other white men to say, we can bring forth the white race, we can bring forth pure white children. And so makeup started as pure white paint. Right? Lead paint, that women were going to these measures because, again, in this pre-woman's movement era, your life literally depended upon your ability to attract a man.
I had no idea about the makeup.
Oh, absolutely. And so the history of makeup begins there. And so moving through time and fast-forwarding as fast as I can, just to say that our current I still believe that a lot of our current practices, we have to involve men and patriarchy in the conversation, in as much as a lot of what we're doing is for the attention of men and the attraction of men still. So I don't know that Alicia Keys would be the person powerful enough to shift this, if that makes sense. Like, what if men came out and said, well, we don't need this, don't require it? What if mainstream images started showing more women without makeup? Because, again, think about it. Look, Alicia Keys could not have come out as an artist one day with no makeup on and not have any explanation, you know? So we expect her to tell us, why would you do that? Because that's the expectation for all of us. So I think it's about how do we shift the broader expectations for this at the same time that we're also making peace with our relationship with makeup for ourselves.
Well, interestingly, Yaba, we have a couple notes from men. Michael tweets, it's so refreshing to see women makeup free. He goes on to say, the chemicals that are in most makeup is not beautiful. It comes from within. And an email from Chuck, just check the pics. I'm assuming he's talking about the selfie we posted on Facebook, Radio Times Facebook. You look great. Less makeup brings out your deep brown eyes and you have freckles. That's not me. That's Debbie Builder, our producer, one of our producers. Nice. And he also says you probably have a lot more free time, too. So we've gotten some thumbs up comments there. Let's get to some calls and go to Jane in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. Jane, welcome to Radio Times.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say that I really support women's right, you know, or you know, opinion to wear or not wear makeup. That's what we're starting there. I just want to make a comment about the one lady was saying about, you know, feminists. People in AC were perceived as feminists, were attacking women's, you know, attempts to be beautiful, and they were being criticized and put down for that. I'm not doing that, but I don't want to be seen as less feminine because I don't wear makeup. You know, when I go out in the world, I want to be seen as brave and that I hold myself equal to men. That's my perspective. But I have to say, and just set that new baseline of perspective to say, I want to enjoy the privileges that men always have, because that one lady just made a very interesting comment about, you know, when you go out into the world, if you add up all those hours spent on hair and makeup, oh, my God, it turns into years of your life. I saw an equation one time. It was absolutely brilliant. It really sets you back to think. And I don't want to be perceived as not taking care of myself, or I don't have any self-respect or anything like that, because it's hard to go out in the world. When you see Alicia Keys with her makeup and without her makeup, she's absolutely stunning.
Yes. Well, she's a stunning woman. And
she goes from being beautiful to being stunning. And the thing is, what I'm saying is that it's hard for me. Like when I used to go out with my girlfriends and stuff, and they would be dressed to the nines. But I thought for me, I thought, you know what, that weeds out all the men who are interested in that for me. So you get that baseline perk, if you will. And just that, you know, and Oprah said the same thing, like, you know, why don't women do that? And I thought, I don't understand that. It's like, it takes a lot of courage to go out without makeup. I support women who do. I don't want to be seen as not caring about myself or not thinking of myself as feminine. I feel like I'm very feminine.
Thank you for the call to Radio Times. We're going to have to move on. But to her point, you know, this really is about a personal choice. Even if you want to take time to put together a look that you enjoy, I guess the question is, Juliet, who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for ourselves, or are we doing it to attract somebody else? We're doing it for other people.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we can simply say it's about a personal choice, because I think we have to recognize that the choices we make always reflect the context in which they're made, you know? And so I wear makeup. It feels good to wear makeup. It's fun to shop for makeup. But, you know, that doesn't mean it's good for me the same way I love to eat potato chips. I desire them. It feels good to eat them. That doesn't make them empowering. So
you consider yourself a feminist, though.
I definitely consider myself a feminist, but that doesn't mean that I believe that everything I do is always the full expression of what feminism could be. I am a woman in this world, just like any other, trying to find that balance between doing what I think is going to make the world the place I want to live in and surviving in the world I actually do live in.
Go ahead, Yaba.
I was just going to say, and I don't think that wearing makeup and being feminist are mutually exclusive. You know, I don't know that one has anything to do with the other. I am absolutely a feminist, and like I said, I wear and enjoy wearing makeup, as do many feminists. So I think part of the conversation also is we also have to be careful about the ways in which we insert feminism into the conversation, because we also need to be critical about how we're defining feminism.
Yeah. I think Alicia Keys, if I'm reading her writing correctly, she was just feeling pressure. And perhaps it is because of the line of work she's in. You know, every time she goes out the door, there's somebody there waiting with a camera. And that was part of the driving force. And again, let's speak to pressure. We've got a tweet from Rachel responding to, you know, whether social media intensifies the pressure. She says, absolutely. And then I think she adds a humorous note by saying, and it also, you know, makes them pose with those darn duck lips. So, but still, again, I guess the question is whether we should wear makeup because it's fun and because it makes us feel better, or whether because we feel we're pressured to do it. Perhaps that's the crux. Juliet?
Well, we know that we are pressured to do it. We know that any time a woman, particularly one who's in the public eye because she's a politician or an entertainer, looks anything less than perfectly put together, that elicits huge amounts of attention and criticism. And I think we all have to be honest with ourselves that as much as we may enjoy the process of becoming beautiful every day, we're also very, very afraid of what our life would look like if we didn't have the approval of society. And that's really what we need to think about in terms of this next generation of girls, moving forward, how we're going to give them the freedom to make a choice without that fear really driving them to do things the way it's always been done.
Okay, so Juliet, let's get to that. And Yaba, Mintel, the Market and Consumer Intelligence Agency, reports that a full 80% of all children between the ages of 9 and 11, those are the tweens, use beauty and personal care products. Over half of all 12 to 14-year-olds use mascara, eyeshadow, liner. This might seem like a lot, but does this really mark a big difference from what we saw a few decades ago? Yaba?
Not at all. I was the 13-year-old with blue eyeliner, you know, and mood lipstick. And again, you know, and that's why I say that this is a complex conversation, because I'm also someone who was raised by a West African woman. And in Ghana, where my family is from, we have very clear ideas about what femininity looks like for girls from the time that they're born. So there's always this performance of adornment. And so it wasn't a big deal to my mother that I wanted to wear eyeliner or mood lipstick. And in that moment, if I remember correctly, at least, I don't think that was for anyone else's approval as much as it was me performing my type of femininity, you know? So, yeah.
Juliet?
I do have a concern that, and I say this as a mother of a daughter who is 11 going on 12, it is a concern to me how much marketing is part of her everyday life because of her connection with social media. And it does concern me that she's the one who's coming to me saying, I want to buy this product, or, you know, maybe this ad can make me feel or look a certain way. And, you know, that makes me worried, because, again, I think it creates this attitude of dependence upon some product or something to make you feel good about who you are. And I don't think that's going to end up serving her at all.
All right, we have a lot of calls, so I'm going to try to get to some of them. Linda in Bluebell, welcome to Radio Times. Hi, Linda.
Hi. First of all, I think what Alicia Keys did was very brave and wonderful, and I hope more people who influence women and young girls do that. In response to women saying what they want the most is to lose 10 pounds, what they want the most is to love and be loved. And I don't think losing 10 pounds is really what's going to make that difference in their lives. And I think we've been propagandized, you know, by many businesses into, you know, putting on certain things to look a certain way, and that we really need to fight against that uniformity.
Well, thank you for the call, Linda. Yaba, what do you think?
No, I was nodding my head. I agree. I think there's, you know, there's the emotionality aspect of it, too, because approval, we can also break down approval, you know, so what does approval look like for women? You know, so is it being chosen? You know, whether it's being the object of someone's affection, or as the caller said, to be loved. And so I think we also, you know, need to pay attention to, like, the kind of pressures we have to perform a particular type of femininity, but what for? Like, what are the consequences, or what are the I guess, the benefits of doing so?
And Juliet Williams?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say that we're talking about this kind of pressure really bearing down on girls and women, and that is true, but we also should recognize how much it's a force increasingly in boys and men's lives. So there's evidence showing that the rate of eating disorders among adolescent boys has absolutely skyrocketed. We see all of the advertising that's telling men they have to take all kinds of protein supplements and spend increasing numbers of hours in the gym and figure out a way to counteract nature's way of taking their hairlines back as they get older. And all of the anxieties about looks, sadly, what equality has become isn't that women are getting released from it, but that men are getting conscripted into the same kind of intensified set of pressures. And that creates a basis for men and women to work together to challenge this, but it's something we have to recognize we're all now increasingly part of.
Thanks for the call to a Radio Times, Linda. Matt is standing by in Glenside. Hello, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks.
So most of what I'm hearing on the discussion before I called in is kind of talking about using makeup as a way of attracting male attention. And yet, you know, I have young daughters, and my wife and among her friends, the only people I ever hear talking about makeup, oh, that looks great, oh, you put a little too much on, honey, all that type of stuff, comes from women. I don't hear any men talking about women's makeup, unless they did something like shockingly horrific or were going for something. You know, I just don't hear it.
Interesting point, Matt. But Yaba Blay, you want to weigh in on that?
I just don't know that men have to talk about it for it to be important to them, you know, and so I think maybe the opposite of experience perhaps of, you know, if you're out in a particular space and in the company of other women, how many of those women don't have makeup on? And of those women, how many do you find attractive?
Well, I guess the question is, when we were talking earlier about Alicia Keys and the negative reaction she was getting that you spoke of, Yaba, was it from men and women, primarily women? I guess women are our own worst critics?
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's what he's talking about. Yeah. Juliet, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like I was talking about the Miss America pageant, there's always been this way in which women end up fighting with each other over things that really we need to learn how to stand together over. And but the flip side of that is, in this society where women feel this pressure to be beautiful, there can be wonderful forms of friendship and solidarity and appreciation that women can give to other women, bonding over this kind of stuff, whether it's what kind of mascara you use or do you want to go take a jog with me in the afternoon so we can stay fit. So it's very complicated. One other thing I do want to say, though, is that a lot of men will say, oh, you know, I don't like makeup. I don't like women to spend too much time doing their hair. And there's kind of this valorization of this natural beauty that takes many women hours and hours to kind of pull off as a performance. So I think we have to be very suspicious in a way of this whole celebration of the natural.
Juliet Williams, I've got to stop you there, unfortunately. Thanks for joining us. And Yaba Blay, our thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
After the break, we're going to meet Philadelphia artist Ellen Sue Gross. Stay with us as Radio Times continues. Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Ellen Sue Gross is a Philadelphia artist and portrait painter who embarked on a unique project a short while ago. She asked a number of friends, all in their 60s and 70s, if they would sit for portraits without any makeup on. And what was Ellen Sue's purpose in this venture? And how did her subjects, her friends, react when the finished portraits were unveiled? Ellen Sue Gross is here with us in studio to tell us the story. Welcome to Radio Times, Ellen Sue.
Thank you.
And I also want to mention, I had misread my rundown. We are fortunate to have Juliet Williams and Yaba Blay with us the entire hour, here on Radio Times. So I'm sorry for saying goodbye a little bit early there to Juliet and to Yaba.
We're still here.
That was my bad. But anyway, so let's get started. We're going to talk a little bit about Ellen Sue's project. Where did the idea for this project come from, Ellen Sue?
Well, I was finishing up a series and trying to think of what was next. And I was having a discussion with my daughter about vanity. And while we were talking about that, we thought, gee, it would be great to show women in their natural beauty. And I went out and recruited friends that would volunteer and sit for me to paint their portraits without makeup. I photographed nine of the women, and my daughter, who is a photographer, she photographed me. And the rest were done by other photographers.
And they were all women who were in their 60s and 70s.
60s so and 70s.
Why this age group?
Well, that's my age group. And they're my friends. And we're getting older. And I think that would be an interesting project to show them in their natural raw beauty. And these are women that are successful and have had interesting careers. And they were really quite supportive of my project.
Not all of them said yes.
Not all of them. Some of them refused. They just, they loved me, but they just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, not wearing the makeup.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So after you had finished these portraits and you unveiled them to your friends,
right,
what were the reactions?
Well, it was varied. I did my own first, and it's not a complimentary portrait, but I wanted to show that I could show myself out there, set a good example. And as I finished each portrait, I would send it around to my friends, and they loved it. They absolutely loved it until they got to see their own. And then they were very critical, you know. But some of them liked that. Some of them liked it. And others had comments like, I don't have jowls. So it was interesting.
It's interesting sometimes when you find, you see yourself at that angle in the mirror and you're not expecting that. And you go, oh, wait a minute. I don't quite look like I thought
right.
that I did. So what did you think of your own portrait when you looked at it?
I loved it.
You did love it.
I do love it.
Yeah. We talked a little bit earlier in the show about, and I think Juliet Williams, you had brought this up, about women and aging and how things can change for us in terms of whether we accept ourselves, how hard do we fight, how hard should we fight the aging process, how do we embrace it? What are your thoughts on that, Ellen Sue Gross?
Well, I feel that as I'm getting older, I'm fine with the aging process. I can go outside and not wear makeup. I go running every morning. I don't wear makeup. I do feel that people view you differently without makeup. You kind of get ignored, especially as you're getting older. You become a little more invisible. So I think when women wear makeup, they feel a little more confident.
You are wearing makeup in studio, and you look absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
But your portrait was striking as well, I have to say. Yaba Blay, what do you think of this concept of women who, as they age, seem to become more invisible?
You mean in terms of the mainstream?
In terms of the mainstream, in terms of being noticed, and perhaps even I don't know, you can speak to this, Ellen Sue Gross, enter the workforce, try to accomplish things. Does the landscape change as we age? What do you think, Yaba?
I'm supposing so. I mean, it's certainly changed for me over these years. I do think I think there's this sense that, I don't know, there's so many ways, maybe not for me personally, but like my age group, for example, a lot of women in my life aren't yet married and still want to have children. And there's this constant undercurrent that almost, you know, time's up. You know, you should have done it when you were younger. Now you can't do it. Oh, my God, now you're going to live your life without children. Mm-hmm. Or there's almost like this clock, right, that's been instituted for women to think that certain things have to happen in our life in a certain time frame for the life to, I guess, have value. So I imagine that, you know, whatever that time frame is, when you're outside of that and older, then, you know, visually, maybe we don't need to put you out front and center. Maybe we need to put out the people who are younger, you know, because I think beauty also has an age limit too in terms of the mainstream.
Yeah. I remember my mother was an absolutely beautiful woman, and she was in the workforce until she was in her early 70s, and used to just talk about the fear that she wouldn't be able to advance, that perhaps she wouldn't be accepted for as long as she wanted to be accepted. And of course I knew everything at that time, and I would poo-poo it. Mm-hmm. But now as I'm getting older, I understand where she's coming from. You want to weigh in on that, Juliet Williams?
Yeah, I think it's a true phenomenon that we have to face. There's a lot of people today who think that we don't need feminism anymore. They think that sexism is over. And that's an illusion. And I think it's an illusion that gets power and traction in part because we don't see where sexism and inequality lives. And one of those places it lives is no longer as blatant and overt as it used to be, but it's in these little micro interactions of everyday life. Something like the fact that, which I'm a 48-year-old woman, working as Yava is on a college campus, you know, mm-hmm. when I walk into the gym on campus, it's as if I do not exist. People could look right through me. And that's very different than when I walk into the lecture hall right next door to that gym, where suddenly I become an authority figure. And so I think that, you know, what that makes me realize is that invisibility is a way of denying who you are. And so if we connect women's power to their beauty, that's going to just set them up for a real loss as they get older.
So I guess the question is, how do we change that if we can change that? Ellen Sue Gross, what do you think?
I think it's more about people respecting who you are. When you show who you are, what you've accomplished, they can hear her lecture, they can see my artwork, then I think they start respecting you more.
Okay. Let's get back to some of the portraits that you had painted. Again, the surprised reactions from some of your friends. One woman said she felt she looked unhappy, even though she wasn't unhappy. Another, who'd been through a rough few years following the death of her husband, felt she looked grim. So as we get older, more of our life history shows in our faces. What did you find in these women's faces as you were painting them, Ellen?
Well, I seem to be able to capture the emotion when I paint. And a lot of people that have seen my work say that because I'm a realistic painter, but there's more to it than that. I think that you can sense a feeling of the person's personality. It comes out. When I look at my own portrait, I think it looks actually very sad. It looks tired.
Were you sad and tired?
I'm not sad and tired, but when you look at yourself for hours and hours painting yourself, you can become a little tired and maybe a little frustrated that day with how your work is going. And I think that I picked that up in these portraits, you know, looking at the faces, knowing the people. I picked up a bit of their personality.
Ellen Sue Gross, what do you think of social media and the influence it can have? Well, on young women and the image they have of themselves, but also as women as we age.
I think it has a major effect. I originally started out being a makeup artist. And then I went into photo retouching. So everything that you see in magazines, social media, is not as it appears. And this is what women look like. They want to emulate what they see in the magazines, social media.
So is there even more pressure then on women as we age than perhaps there was a few decades ago?
I think so, because you don't see in social media a lot of beautiful women, a lot of older women. So they feel that pressure. I think they feel left out.
If you were to do another version of this project featuring men of the same age.
Well, that was suggested.
Oh, was it? Okay, not the first one. Well, how would you approach it if you were to do something like that?
I don't think that would actually be as interesting because men don't wear makeup. One approach would be to have the men made up. I think that would be an interesting
twist.
Yeah. So I'll give that some thought.
So Juliet Williams, we did talk a little bit ago about men. And again, social media, I'm wondering if it has the same effect widespread in terms of how men feel about themselves and appearance.
There's a lot of evidence that suggests that, yes, it does, and that our boys and young men increasingly are, to go back to bell hooks, being terrorized yeah. by the expectation that they not only be rich and powerful, but also never lose their hair, not go gray, maintain gigantic muscles, and all the other things that go along with ideas of masculinity.
And older men really as well, I'm wondering?
If we look at Viagra sales, I think we can pretty clearly see that the pressure is not going away. We're all in the same boat. And, you know, this is something feminists have said all along. This feminism is not just for women. It's for all of us to get to a place where we have self-respect and are respected by everyone else. And I think that we have a real opening right now for men and women to come together and say, stop the madness.
Let's get to an email from Joseph, who says, I'm a retired middle school and high school teacher who often told my students that more important than how you look made up is about how you feel about yourself when you get up in the morning without your makeup. Yabba Blade, does he have a point?
I mean, yes. I think clearly what we've been saying, you know, the whole hour is that there is this underlying concern for people's, you know, self-reflection, self-acceptance, self-esteem. And so, yeah, that absolutely matters. And we know that the makeup isn't necessarily going to heal anything, you know, so that if you do have lower self-esteem or self-reflection that, you know, may not be optimal, that makeup might help you in the moment. But in terms of long term, not so much. So, yeah, we do have to have a solid foundation.
And Ellen Sue Gross, kind of a personal question, but I think you it's published that you said you're 69 years old.
Yes.
OK. So how do you approach the changes in your face and body?
Makeup helps. The body is another story.
But you get out and move and you exercise.
I do.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in good shape. I run every day. I do weights, but gravity takes over. And it's actually not fun to experience that.
Yeah. Aging isn't for sissies, kind of to paraphrase a saying that's going around. But aging well, what would be your philosophy and your advice after you've done this series of portraits and you've talked to your girlfriends about their reactions to them?
Well, I think keeping active is very important to whether if you're working, beside working, having hobbies, having friends, having a social relationship with women, getting out there. I think that helps keep you young.
Yeah. And removing the pressure from appearance and putting makeup and hair and everything in there if you want to. How do you do that? How do you remove the pressure? What do you tell yourself?
You have to be confident within yourself.
Yeah. Yabba Blay, would you like to add to that as we wrap up the show a second time for you?
Well, you know, I think, as I tell my students, feeling beautiful is work. I don't think it's something that falls out of the sky. And so we have to take an active role in this. For me, I don't ever want to tell women, you know, just love yourself without giving them a blueprint. So I think we should be active and conscious about having a blueprint and some actual practices to help ourselves feel good about ourselves on a daily basis.
And Juliet Williams, some final thoughts from you.
Well, I've learned a lot, by the way, from the other panelists here today. But, I want to say that, yes, it's a personal choice, but we also as a society have to make some significant changes.
Such as very quickly.
Such as recognizing that every individual has value for who they are rather than for how well they meet some impossible ideal of beauty.
Thank you so much for joining us. Juliet Williams, professor in the UCL Department of Gender Studies. Yabba Blay, Dan Blue Endowed Chair in Political Science at North Carolina Central University. And Ellen Sue Gross, Philadelphia artist who painted portraits of a number of her women friends without makeup. We appreciate you joining us for Radio Times today.
Thank you.
And don't forget, you're welcome. And don't forget to visit our Facebook page at whyy.org/Radio Times. Our engineer today, Adam Staniszewski. Producers, Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, Elizabeth Fiedler, and Trinae Nuri. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Great to have you with us for Radio Times.